Moms, happy Mother's Day, and we're so glad that you chose to be with us today and join us in this online Mother's Day service. And I want to welcome or give a special happy Mother's Day to my mom, Nancy, and to the wife of our children, Annette. Happy Mother's Day to you both. I hope that you have a great day. And just be aware that on this day, I'll make sure that I make some kind of breakfast for the kids. And so, and it won't be Cheerios. So I'll make sure to do that today. But happy Mother's Day, moms. We're glad that you join us. One of the things that we love about moms is that for a lot of us, moms make us very happy. For others of you, your experience with your mom wasn't that good. And quite honestly, the fact that you're tuning in to a Mother's Day sermon and you're hearing a message about Mother's Day seems very awkward to you. And the reason it seems awkward to you is because maybe your mom passed away and you're dealing with grief right now. Maybe for you, you didn't have a mom. You may have been given up for adoption, or the mom that you had didn't really act what you would think that a mom should act like. You know, today what I want to do is I want to talk about this idea where we've been and not normal of happiness. Because we live in a society that quite honestly these days the phrase happiness, using the phrase happiness, being happy is not normal for us. And I'm going to ask this question and we're going to answer this question today. And the question's pretty simple. Does God want you to be happy? You know, this question is one that I get asked a lot from individuals who come to me and they say, you know, I think God wants me to be happy. Or, you know, I don't think God wants anybody to be happy. But today I want to answer that question. And the reason I want to answer that question is because happiness is a desire that's as strong as your desire to eat, your desire to have sex, and your desire to sleep. It's wired within us, and for many of us, we determine our ethics based upon happiness, whether or not we're happy. And the question of does God want me to be happy becomes a question that I think any of us who are either searching for God or whether we have found him and we're trying to follow after him, whether we're in that boat or we're searching, we're still trying to ask that question. You know, I have a son whose name is Josiah. He'll turn 7 next month. And recently what happened was, is he came to me and he had this brilliant idea. He said, Dad, I would love to get up on the roof of our house and play. And we began to argue back and forth. And I said to him, son, I don't think that's really a good idea. And he said, but Dad, you want me to be happy, don't you? And I said, of course I want you to be happy. He said, then this is what will make me happy. So I gave in and let him play on the roof. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. The thing is that as a parent, you know that there are things that our children come to us and they will say something about wanting to be happy. And you, and they've used those arguments even with us, but you basically realize that in the end, it's going to end up in an ER visit or it's going to end up into some kind of a problem. You know, we oftentimes say no to our kids' happiness and we look like we're a buzzkill. But the reason behind it is that we want to keep them safe. You know, I grew up in a system in which one of the singers of the day was a gal by the name of Sheryl Crow. And she had this song that said, if it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. Then the question is, does God want me to be happy? You know, it's interesting that every time as a pastor that someone comes up to me and they say, you know, God wants me to be happy, then I recognize that they are about to make a tragic mistake. I've had people who came up to me that said, God wants me to be happy as they're in the middle of leaving their relationship for someone else, generally a marriage. Others who say, I think God wants me to be happy, and they know that they're about to make some kind of mistake that will alter their very lives. And their reason behind it is, obviously God wants me to be happy. You know, this idea is understandable to us, And the question, I think, another idea, is your happiness God's highest priority? Well, not really. And so this is why other people on the other side, they say God wants me to be happy. And then there's other people that said God doesn't want me to be happy at all. And they respond in this way to a difficult situation. When they've been backed up into a corner, they say, you know, I know that God doesn't want me to be happy. I know He wants me to be miserable my rest of my life. And if you've ever had a friend that's come to you with this idea, and they've come to you by just saying, look, I'm going to be this way, then most of us tend to just give in and say, yeah, of course God wants you to be happy. I even hear people that say to me, God doesn't want me happy. You've heard church people say this, He wants me holy. And to be honest with you, the problem with this statement is that you use the idea that it's an either or, that I'm either happy or I'm holy. And if I'm holy, I'm not happy. And if I'm happy, I'm not holy. And the reality of Scripture shows us that happiness and holiness actually go hand in hand. A couple of examples of this is found in the book of Psalms, the 37th chapter, the 4th verse. The psalmist would write, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Yes, God wants you to be happy. And He wants you to have an opportunity to do this. And many of us read this and say, oh, yes. So happiness is separate from holiness. No, they go together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul would write these words, always be joyful. Again, happiness is something that's important to us. It's important to God. And happiness is an incredible piece, but I think for us to understand the question, does God want me to be happy, we may need to pause for a moment and look at the science behind happiness. You know, there are three key ingredients that make us happy individuals. There are three chemicals, so to speak, that come together, that's sort of a cocktail, if you will, that make us happy. And the first chemical is simply this, it's oxytocin. It's a chemical that gives us a sense of comfort. This gets released through a handshake or a hug. It creates a sense of safety and trust. For many of us in this season of COVID-19, we've struggled with happiness, and part of the reason that we've struggled with happiness is because of social distancing. I know the difficulty for me. When I see my mom, I love to give my mom a hug. But in this season, my mom is in a highly contagious area in her life in which I'm not allowed to walk up and give her a hug. And therefore, that oxytocin, that sense of comfort, is something that I feel missing in my life. And because I may not have it, then happiness is a piece of the equation that may be missing. Science also tells us it's not just oxytocin that begins, but it's also dopamine is the other, as a second chemical that happens. And this is the chemical of adventure. Dopamine happens and it's released when our mind is buzzing with activity and creative energy. This is what drives productivity at work and travel and adventure. For some of you, part of the happiness that you've experienced while being quarantined is that you go back and look at it and you say, wow, my house has never been cleaner. I've never done more projects in my life. We've been doing all kinds of things. I watch on Facebook as some of you continue to do thing after thing after thing, seeking adventure after adventure after adventure. Even in this quarantine time, there's one of the major things that's happened on social media is these home Olympics that people have come up with where they've made these games where they're playing back and forth. The dopamine inside of us is a chemical that longs for a sense of adventure. It connects to us with our happiness. But there's a third chemical that has to be part of the cocktail, and that third chemical is called serotonin. It's a chemical of respect. This happens when somebody asks your opinion, when somebody treats you with respect, or they applaud your performance. This is why as kids we get so excited when moms oftentimes would cheer us on, even if what we were doing was mediocre at best. It was released inside of us because somebody carefully that we love respected us or applauded a performance around us. There are some things that you need to know about oxytocin, dopamine, and serotonin. These three chemicals are highly addictive, which is a good thing. Did you know that God designed us, and science has confirmed this in us, to drive the idea of us being happy, that happiness is part of what's inside of us. But there's a second thing to note, that this is short-lived. You see, part of the problem for us is that we try to think that happiness has to become a long-term state of mind. It has to be something that happens, and I'm always happy or I'm never happy. But these three chemicals only come together, and the addictive nature of them coming together to form happiness is short-lived. It's not a long-term state, and it's dependent upon persistent habits. God's personal design leads us to build positive communities and habits. And when we continue to do these things over and over and over again, it produces in us a sense of happiness. You know, not only is it short-lived and addictive, but the third thing is happiness is a chemical cocktail that you can control. You know, another piece of the science is that there are three sources of happiness for every human. And one of the things that I hear people say all the time is, it all has to do with my mom. It's her fault that I'm not happy. Or it's my dad's fault. He was never there. Or it's the fault of my work, if they would pay me for what I'm worth. Or it's the fault of my parents because of this, or my kids because of this. Or it's the fault of the system because the system is broken. But the sources of happiness in every human come from three major sources. And the first source is simply this: genetics. Yes, it is your parents' fault. But you have to understand that this is only 50% of what's added in to make you happy or not happy. You see, some of us play the genetics card as if it's 100% of our happiness or non-happiness. And then occasionally we read a book or a story about someone who comes along, and out of nowhere, this person just had a horrible life, a horrible existence that was worse than ours, and they come out super happy, and they seem super excited about life, and we wonder, what happened? Because they know that only 50% of our happiness comes from genetics. Well, the second thing that happens is a source for every human of the happiness is circumstances. Now, I know what most of you are thinking. If 50% is genetics, and there's three of these, then probably 40% of this has got to be circumstances. And you're thinking, this is why I'm not happy, because I'm married to him. This is why I'm not happy. If you kids were better, I'd be a lot happier. This is why I'm not happy, because this is my job. I didn't sign up for this kind of work or this kind of employment. But here's the truth. This circumstances accounts for only 10% of the equation. Do you know where the other 40% comes? Right here, in our choices. This is why a person can walk away from a relationship and a marriage and say, the reason I'm walking away is because you make me miserable. Only 2 years later to be in another marriage and to say to a different spouse, you still make me miserable. This is why for some of us, we continue to go job after job after job. This is why for some of us, we continue in a life of addiction, trying to seek the high that these three chemicals coming together can produce. But this understanding of happiness is a big question, and I want to answer it this way. How do I find happiness? You don't have to look very far in the Bible, and you can look at Psalms, the very first chapter, the very first three verses. and you'll begin to understand and unpack this idea of how can I find happiness. And I got a good news alert. Science actually lines up with the very things that we're going to talk about. Let me read for you Psalm 1, 1 through 3, and then we'll unpack it here in a moment. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners, or they join with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Gang, I want you to see a video of a friend of mine. Her name is Patty. And she is going to tell you a little bit about, in this season of not normal, how she has maintained her value of happiness in the world around her. And you're going to begin to recognize and understand that circumstances, genetics, those pieces play a role in her happiness. But the biggest piece in her happiness is the choices that she makes. Let's watch this story together.
Hi, my name is Patty Frawley. I'm married to Tony. We have three wonderful sons with spouses and two adorable grandsons. I'm a nurse at Community Howard Regional. During this COVID-19 pandemic, I've had a lot of different emotions: disappointment, sadness, fear, anxiety. But probably the most prevalent emotion I've had is just the uncertainty, just being uncertain almost all the time of what's going to happen next. I've had sadness during this time. My daughter-in-law, Katie, her grandparents, Mort and Patty Ogden, were the first people in Tipton County to test positive with the COVID-19. Mort is doing great, he's home. But Patty was on the ventilator for over 3 weeks, and her family wasn't able to see her, and they were just waiting every day just for update on her condition. On Easter, Patty was able to breathe on her own for several hours, and she was actually able to FaceTime with her daughters and son and husband, and it was just a joyful time, a thankful time for the family to be able to talk with her. Unfortunately, a few days later, Patty did pass away, but she's a believer, so there's joy there. Like her daughter Mandy said, that she has just changed her address. She's now in heaven with her Heavenly Father. One of the biggest disappointments we've had during this time is the upcoming wedding of Drew and Sophie. Drew is our youngest son, and on April 18th, him and Sophie were going to be married in a barn venue. And all the excitement leading up to that, Sophie getting a wedding dress, picking out the wedding party, picking out, you know, the food, the flowers. As a mother, looking forward to seeing Drew look at Sophie for the very first time as she walks down the aisle. Looking forward to the reception, the food, family, fellowship, fun, the dancing, the first dance between Drew and Sophie. And then COVID-19 hit, and that excitement turned to sheer disappointment. And as a mother and a mother-in-law, you know, as your children are hurting, you hurt too, whether it's a loss of a loved one or disappointment in life. And up until April 18th, we still didn't know if they were going to get married. We had a venue. It fell through. We had to get another venue. And then the concern with the COVID-19, were we going to be exposed sometime before the wedding? Were we going to get sick? Was everybody going to be able to even just have the wedding on April 18th? Then April 18th, I woke and I remember these words: "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And on April 18th, Drew married Sophie Gerber. Pastor Luke and Rob officiated the ceremony, and it was just a very wonderful, joyful time. Just the parents were there, and siblings, and a few siblings couldn't be there because of some sickness. But it was beautiful. It was wonderful watching Drew as Sophie walks toward him with for the ceremony. And then a caravan of cars drove through and was able to celebrate with Sophie and Drew. One of the cars had decorated their windows and they had flowers, and it was just a very joyful time and thankful time. So all of that disappointment leading up to April 18th soon turned into joy, thankfulness, and just happiness.
Hi, Mom. We first wanted to say Happy Mother's Day. I also wanted to thank you for all that you do for me, all you do for us each and every day. Thank you for raising me in the Lord, just you and Dad partnering together and showing me what it means to be a man of God.
And thank you for your involvement in the wedding planning and hosting a shower. Although our wedding day didn't quite turn out how we expected it to, it was still so special and intimate, and we're so thankful that you were able to share in our day.
So once again, we wanted to say
we love you
and Happy Mother's Day.
Wow, what an incredible tribute by Drew. He was one of our former staff members who's doing some incredible ministry these days. You know, one of the things that I love about this idea, and I want to ask the question, and we're asking the question, how do I find happiness, is that when you read Scripture and you see words in Scripture like joys or blessed, then the interpretation, for the most part in the Bible, is that that is the word for happy in the Bible. So when you hear the phrase, blessed are, or the joys of those, you know that the Bible is telling us that this is a moment to look up because God's talking about happiness. And this is why in Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we hear the idea of the joys and the delight and the things that Scripture tells us about. So how do I come to the place and the realization that I can find happiness in my life? Let me just unpack these rather quickly. The first one is this. I grow relationships with people who honor God. I grow relationships with people who honor God. Relationships account for the bulk of our happiness. You know that there are people in your life that drag you down, and there are people in your life that build you up. And the reality that happens is that those who honor God in the way that they build us up bring forth a joy that we cannot possibly imagine. This is what the psalmist meant in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, when he would say this, "The joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Who are you listening to?" He continues on to say, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. When we build godly relationships, we are increasing our happiness. You know, friends and family are the best source for oxytocin, which is the chemical of comfort. And if you're looking for oxytocin, the Scripture tells us right here, this is the best way to do it, to grow relationships with people who honor God. Let me ask you, who in your world that you know honors God that you would think, I wish I knew that person better. I wish I could be a better friend to them. I wish I could be with them more. You see, even in the quarantine of COVID-19, even in the moments that you're staying at home, if you've got a friend like that, then my encouragement to you is to get together with that friend and try to spend more time in communication, whether that's in FaceTime or whether that's on a Google Meets, however that may be, that you would spend more time letting that person be an honoring of God with you. It's a great opportunity to do that. The second thing that we do to find happiness from this passage of Scripture is that we create space in my brain for truth from God's Word to get in. I don't know about you, but for me personally, I wake up in the morning and my mind begins to run, and it runs all day long. And at night, I love to open the Scriptures. And before I go to bed, I love to read from God's Word. And I have to confess to you that there have been times that I've read God's Word, and after reading it, I've closed it up. And for me, I read it on my phone. I close out the app, and then I roll over, and then I go to sleep, and I have no idea what I just read. Are you that busy too? Is your life that crazy? You see, the second verse says it this way, that they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. You know, not only is the chemical for us oxytocin, but a second chemical that comes to the happiness cocktail is dopamine, the chemical of adventure. And scientists and leaders continue to tell us that the best way for us to release dopamine is through meditation. Now, I'm not talking about some Eastern mysticism here. I'm not talking about some idea of getting into a certain pose and sitting a certain way and being a certain way. I'm talking about what the Scripture says about meditating on God's Word both day and night. About what does it look like for you to grab a Scripture verse and to make that Scripture verse your verse of the day. To where you focus on it in the morning, and then you focus on it throughout the day. And as you're focusing on it, you're taking specific time to undivide your brain, to pause and to let it really sink in. You see, this idea of meditation is one of the ways that for many of us, we can overcome this thrill of trying to be happy over and over and over again. You know, one of the things that occurs for a lot of us is that we get to the place that all we want is the next thrill of happiness. And eventually what happens is that there is no thrill left in our lives. This is what happens to an addict, a person who loves alcohol and the taste of alcohol. They love the taste of a beer, but then they realize that one beer isn't enough. It's got to be two. And then two leads to a six-pack. And then a six-pack leads to a case every couple of days. Or a drug addict that says, I need the high because of the feeling in my life. I love how that gets me. Because while happiness is just short-lived, but it's short-lived through constant habits that are constantly in a positive nature that's helping us. We begin to find habits that are negative, and they begin to do this. And eventually what happens is that that pleasure center, that center of adventure in our brain just shuts down. And the dopamine no longer comes. They wrote a book about it called Thrilled to Death. And in it, the one way that they mention how you can reestablish this in your life, and science has shown us this, is that the best way to do that is through meditating, through focusing on the things that are right. Create space in my brain for the truth from God's Word to get in. The third and final ingredient, which again is part of the brilliance of God that science confirms, is found here where it says, serve others in significant ways. You and I live in a world that we get so busy that all we think about is ourselves. I was moved about 2 weeks ago when my wife came to me with the idea of beginning to figure out a way that we could bless the medical workers in the ERs in our community. There are two hospitals here in Kokomo. And my wife had this idea, and she called a friend of ours who owns a popcorn place here in town, and we ordered 100 bags of small popcorn, different kinds and flavors, and we showed up at the ER, and we had somebody that came out because you couldn't go in, and we said, hey, here, these are for you. We just wanted to say thanks. It was a way for us to serve somebody else in a significant way. What was interesting about it is that in both locations, the people were moved significantly by what we did, but it didn't just move them, it moved us. We were so grateful to do that. This is why that third verse, the writer of Psalms would put it this way, they're like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit every single season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. You know what happens when you and I serve someone else? Serotonin gets released as part of the chemical. It's how we gain significance. And it happens by serving people around us. You see, what happens in our world for many of us is that we lack happiness. And we're either too addicted to be happy, or we're too self-centered to be happy, or for us, we have the relationships that aren't honoring God, and therefore the people closest to us, they're not happy, and they're not making us happy. You know, for you to know, to answer the question, does God want me to be happy? The answer is simply, yes. When you're willing to grow your relationships that honor God, when you're willing to create space in your brain for God's word to permeate into your mind, and you're willing to significantly serve others, you'll begin to see that happiness meter rise inside of you. So today, if you're struggling with this season, if your anxiety seems to be high, if your sadness is running all the time, then maybe it's time for you to take Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, and begin to apply these principles in your life. It's not normal, but this not normal can transform who God created you to be. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. I thank you, God, that I had the privilege of the 50% to have an incredible mother and an incredible father in my world that created in me opportunities to grow, that connected the cocktail of chemicals that make someone happy. But God, I've learned that was only part of the equation. That, Lord, the older that I get and the more mature that I become, that part of my life is less and less. And so, God, I pray that you would help me to be able to be happy in the circumstances that are around me, even though that's only 10% of my happiness. But that, Lord, the choices I make are 40% of my happiness. And so, God, help me this week to serve others. Help me to strengthen the relationships with godly men and women in my world. And God, help me to meditate on your word, even if it's just a verse, to focus in the morning and to focus in my mind all day long a verse from you and your scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.